Hare Krishna. So how was the day? Tiring? Huh? Demanding? Thank you very much. And so, as I told you earlier, that we may not be able to cover the entire Uddhav Gita, but we'll see how much we can cover, but the rest we'll leave up to you all to cover and continue to study Uddhav Gita. Prabhupada said that we should not jump to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But jumping to 11th canto, there is no problem. Provided you have studied Bhagavad Gita properly. Study Bhagavad Gita properly, and of course, I am confident that you are studying Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. These two books, these two scriptures, read very, very attentively. Make it a point to read Bhagavad Gita every day and Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Even if it is one page, even if it is one shlok with translation and Srila Prabhupada's purport, make it a point to read. Because these two scriptures will keep you acquainted to Krishna consciousness. These two scriptures will keep you in touch with the spiritual sky. We are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but it is important to know why you are chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Our understanding is based on three aspects of spiritual realization. They are sambandha, avidya, and prayojan. Sambandha, relationship. What is our relationship with Krishna? Who is Krishna? And avidya, how can we re-establish our relationship with Krishna? And prayojan, what is the necessity? Why do we need to establish our relationship with Krishna? So these three aspects are very, very essential to be completely become conversant with. We have to know who is Krishna. Reading Bhagavad Gita will make you understand that, give you a very clear understanding of who are you and who is Krishna. And this will lead you to Srimad Bhagavatam, which will enable you to understand how to develop our relationship with Krishna. And it will also reveal to you what the prayojan is, what is the necessity. And Uddhava Gita is the culmination of that realization. It's a very, very important scripture. And if you study Uddhava Gita carefully, you will see everything will become crystal clear. So, this aspect of today that we are going to discuss now, the chapter 12. Chapter 12 describes beyond renunciation and knowledge. We discussed about fruitive activity and the futility of materialistic endeavor for sense gratification. We understood the importance of renunciation, whether we liked it or not. But we at least theoretically understood the importance of renunciation. And then we also acquired the knowledge about the knowledge about Krishna, knowledge about the spiritual sky, knowledge about the spiritual reality. And now we are going to go beyond that. You want to go beyond that? Do you want to go high and stay high forever? No, come down, stay high. That's Krishna consciousness. Stay high forever. So beyond renunciation, what is beyond renunciation and knowledge? Beyond renunciation and knowledge is pure devotional service. What are you practicing in ISKCON? What are you practicing? Impure devotional service or pure devotional service? In ISKCON, you are practicing pure devotional service. So that's why we have to, as I told you earlier, like through all these scriptures, through all these discussions, we are simply understanding the importance of what we are practicing. We are simply understanding that this is the best. Is there anyone who wants to compromise with something lesser than the best? No one? What an August assembly. Very good. Naturally, why should we settle for anything less than the best? I remember Ranjit Ramnarayan. Ranjit is from South Africa. He used to run the most the best transport company and the most largest transport company in South Africa. And he's retired from his business. That's why I said that he used to. And he one day took me, I used to go to his factory. Workplace. And one day he told me that he one principle that he follows, that he makes it a point to have the best. So he had the best trucks, Mercedes, and he had a fleet of 500 trucks, all Mercedes Benz, and all in speak and span condition. Like, he showed me actually a new one and the old one, side by side. It was practically, I couldn't make out the difference between the new one and the used one. Like, he showed me that every morning all the trucks are completely washed clean. And in that respect, I can also point out that Ranjit started his career with a second-hand truck, just a small little truck, transporting something, some goods. And over a period of time, he built an empire. Like, why? Because of his outlook that he could develop such a business. Ranjit's good friend is also Jamna Das. He also runs a chemical factory. And when you go to his factory, you see absolutely it's clean and spick and span. So it is the outlook that brings one to the height of success. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada gave us the best. Prabhupada himself did not compromise for anything less, and Prabhupada did not offer us anything less, and Prabhupada didn't want us to settle for anything less than the best. Whether material or spiritual, we should go for the best. I mean, if we are going to go for it, otherwise let's go to the forest. And I'll say, even if we go to the forest, we'll make it a point to go to the best forest. What is that forest? Vrindavan. So that is the intelligent approach to life. Why should we settle for anything less than the best? Anyway, so beyond renunciation and knowledge, what kind of knowledge? This is also important to consider. What is this knowledge that Krishna is talking about here? This knowledge is not material knowledge. This knowledge is not the knowledge about its material nature. This knowledge is the knowledge about the spiritual sky. According to Vedic understanding, people will be shocked to hear, knowledge about the material knowledge is not knowledge, it's ignorance. Knowledge about the material reality, material nature, is ignorance. And the real knowledge is the knowledge about the spiritual sky. So, we are naturally delving in and probing into, or rather first would be probing into and delving in, dwelling in the transcendental knowledge, knowledge about the spiritual sky, knowledge about our actual identity, knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also the knowledge about this material nature in relation to Krishna. That is what we want to actually want to know. Knowledge of this material nature in relation to Krishna. So this chapter begins with Krishna telling Uddhav, "My dear Uddhav, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment to all objects of material sense gratification." All objects of sense gratification. So what does association of pure devotees do? It's actually a very dangerous thing. There is a saying that it's a verse from one of the scriptures that says that if you still have attachment to your family, friends, etc., etc., then go near Keshikad, where under the Kelikadamba tree Krishna is playing his flute. Because if you do that, then all your attachments will be gone. In a way, it's a very dangerous situation. Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, when somebody used to come and offer obeisances to him, he used to say, there is an expression in Bengali, Sarvanash. Sarva means all, and Nash means destroy. So he used to say that your everything will be destroyed. So the same thing is being said here, that if we associate with the pure devotee of Krishna, then all your material attachments, all your material attachments will be destroyed. This association of devotees will destroy all your attachments to material sense gratification. Therefore, be careful before you step into this process. In a way, sometimes it may sound, oh, it's such a cruel process. But one thing you also should remember, Krishna is very merciful. Krishna doesn't do things unless we are ready for it. Just as an expert doctor doesn't give the medicine that you won't be able to digest. He knows your ability to accept or digest, and accordingly he gives you the medicine. Similarly, Krishna gives you the medicine accordingly. It is not that all of a sudden you'll find that everything is gone. No, it's not like that. In a very sweet way, Krishna will increase your attachment to Krishna himself. And as a result of that, you will gradually lose your attachment to other things. And this detachment is not going to be sudden or abrupt or unpleasant. It's a very pleasant way of doing things. In Krishna consciousness, you will notice one thing, that whatever happened to your life is simply to bring you to this point. If you consider your past, didn't everything happen in a perfect way to bring you to this point? And isn't this point the most wonderful phase? So similarly, what will happen to your future also is the perfect arrangement by Krishna to take you to that point. And on top of everything, Krishna has given us a process that is called Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya. You don't have to give everything up. It's simply freeing yourself from the attachment by developing a real attachment. If we consider, what is our attachment for in this material nature today? All these attachments are actually based on our body. But what Krishna will do, He will detach you from those bodily attachments and enable you to develop your attachment to everything through Krishna. You know, like if we try to give an example like this, two branches are attached to each other, connected to each other in this way. Is this branching one leaning onto other or connected, being connected to other? Is it real connection? Two branches are just touching each other. Is it a real connection? No. But then both the branches go to the root. Then don't they find the real connection to each other? Because where does the real connection lie? Just with the two branches being together, or the real connection is through the root? Similarly, when we develop our Krishna consciousness, we go to the root. And that is how we find our real connection with each other. You don't lose anything in Krishna consciousness, but you gain everything. That's what Krishna consciousness offers. So when you associate with a pure devotee of the Lord, then you realize the futility of just touching each other. Just two branches touching each other. Then you find out that your real connection is through the root. Then will you remain connected to each other, remain attached to each other through this just physical connection? No. That is what Krishna consciousness is offering us. Krishna is the root of everything. When we become connected to Krishna, then we re-establish our relationship not only with Him, we also re-establish our relationship with His every part and parcel. Therefore, don't be afraid to progress in Krishna consciousness. Even though I may present it in an inappropriate way, don't be shocked with that. Like, it is the perfect process that leads us to the ultimate fulfillment of our existence. In Krishna consciousness, we are not promoting that everybody should become a brahmachari or sannyasi, everybody should move into the temple. No. In Krishna consciousness, we are also saying, fine, if you want to be a householder, fine, go get married. But become a householder, ideal householder, grihastha. Don't become henpecked grihamedis. That's what we are saying. We don't say that, don't pursue a career or don't become involved in materialistic activities for your livelihood. But we say that do it in a Krishna conscious way. That is the meaning of Yukta Vairagya. Yukta. detachment. You know, yukta means connection, and vairagya means renunciation or detachment. So isn't it both the words contradictory? Connected detachment? Yes. The connected detachment is you become detached to material nature by being connected to Krishna. Sthanisthitva, being wherever you are, just being situated wherever you are. Shruti Gatan, following the injunctions of the scriptures. Just become engaged in your activities with body, mind and words, with Krishna in the center. Such purifying association, the association of a pure devotee, is all purifying. It's not harmful, it's beneficial. It's not painful, it's ecstatic. And it's all purifying. So this is what we have to understand. The association of pure devotees, association with the pure, with pure devotees will destroy all attachment to all material, all objects of material sense gratification. And this is considered to be the purifying effect of the association of a pure devotee. And brings, and what happens as a result of that? It brings Krishna under his control. Can you imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes under the control of that person who associates with the pure devotees, and as a result of that, who has become free from all material attachments? Then Krishna comes under his control. And then Krishna is saying, it's giving a whole, all kinds of possibilities. But then Krishna says that all these will not be able to do, bring Krishna under their control. Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga. One may perform Ashtanga Yoga, engage in philosophical analysis of elements of material nature, which is Sankhya, practice of non-violence and other ordinary principles of piety, chant the Vedas, perform penances, take to renounce order of life, execute sacrificial performances and dig wells, plant trees and perform other public welfare activities, give in charity, carry out severe vows, worship the demigods, chant confidential mantras, visit holy places or accept major and minor disciplinary injunctions. But even by performing such activities, one does not bring me under his control. None of these things, none of these activities, no matter how expertly executed, will not be able to bring Krishna under their control. The only thing that brings Krishna under his control, under one's control, is pure devotional service, which happens due to association of a pure devotee. And see how powerful the association of a pure devotee is. One pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, created this process for the entire world, enabled everyone enable innumerable living entities to have access to this process, which is extremely rare. So this is the benefit of pure devotees association. Just one pure devotees association, you'll see, has changed the whole world. In course of time we will see. We can't even imagine what's going to happen to this world another 50, 60, 100 years. We can't imagine. And this is all because of one pure devotee. One pure devotee left Vrindavan and went to the United States of America, and it has changed the whole facet of this world. We are too soon, we are too close to Srila Prabhupada to understand that. Over a period of time you will see the effect. Just like I tell you very frankly, 30 years back we could never think that all of you will be sitting here and listening to Uddhav Gita. Because why I'm saying it is because those days hardly any Indians joined the movement. Thirty years back, where were you? So such a big change has taken place in 30 years' time. So what to speak of another 30 years, another 50 years, another 100 years. 100 years means 3 generations. And the way the things are changing. I'll give you an example. About 30-35 years back, going to the colleges to preach to the students in India, I mean, was practically impossible. I'm talking about my experience in Bengal. Bengal at that time was under very, very intense influence of communism. Students were not at all interested in listening to spiritual topics. And, you know, like that was the state of affairs in the colleges. But today, like we go to, as I was mentioning, the IIT, the most prestigious university, prestigious education, one of the most prestigious educational institutions in India. We go to IIT, the directors of the institute escorts us to the class, gets the whole faculty, all students and all the faculty members sit there and listen to us. And he sits next to us. Sometimes he sits in the audience, because he says that I can hear you better when I sit there than sit here. See, in 30 years' time, things have changed so much. Those days we couldn't even think of going to IIT and giving lecture on Krishna consciousness. So this is how things are changing. So in one generation, in 30 years, things have changed so much. So, what to speak of 3 generations from today? Anyway, at least I can say that I am extremely optimistic about the future of ISKCON. And in that respect, I can also say Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur were also extremely optimistic about the future of this movement. So I am not an oddball. In every yuga, many living entities entangled in the modes of passion and ignorance gained the association of my devotees. In every yuga, many living entities, those who are completely entangled in the mode of passion and ignorance, by gaining the association of the pure devotees, achieved the ultimate success of life like this. So Krishna is making that point. In every yuga, many living entities entangled in the modes of passion and ignorance gain the association of my devotees. Thus, such living entities, just listen carefully, who are those living entities? Daityas. Daityas means demons, rakshasas, birds, beasts, gandharvas, apsaras, nagas, siddhas, charanas, gujhakas and bidadharas, as well as such lower class human beings as the vaishyas, sudras, women and others were able to achieve my supreme abode. So this indicates that association of pure devotees is so powerful that anyone can get purified. Even the animals can get purified. Even the demons can get purified. Do you remember when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just traveling through the forest of Jharkhand? What happened? The animals became Krishna conscious. So that is the power of... Of course, one may say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a pure devotee. Who is standing there? Haribol. Who is behind the curtain? If you want to come in, just come in. Why are you just kneeling, sitting there? So this is how the pure devotional service or association of a pure devotee, this is how it affects the living entities. It doesn't matter from which background one is coming. Like demons can become, like who are the daityas? Who is a daitya? Can you think of the example of a daitya becoming a pure devotee? Prahlad Maharaj. Rakshasa becoming a pure devotee? Vibhishan, Ravan's brother, became a pure devotee. Bird, Garuda, Aruna. And so many, and these are just some extreme examples, the most exalted examples, but there's so many such. Snakes became pure devotees, so many, just ordinary snakes. There's an incident, one snake came across Narada. And now he became a pure devotee. And Narada Muni advised him that give up your violent nature, just don't harm anybody and chant the holy name of the Lord. So the snake was doing that. So one day Narada Muni came across the snake and he found that the snake was in a bad shape. His body was scales are coming out. He was looking very miserable. So Narada Muni asked him, what happened? He said, you see, since I came across you, I took to the process of devotional service and I gave up my violent nature. I stopped biting people. And now as they see me, they throw stones at me. They get whatever they can get hold of and they just throw it at me. And as a result of that, anyway, I'm okay. And Narada Muni said, okay, I told you not to bite. But did I even tell you not to show your hood and hiss? So the point is that even a snake became a devotee of the Lord just by coming in contact with Narada Muni. You know a bandit, a terrible bandit, dacoit, Ratnakar, just by coming in contact with Narada Muni, he became a pure devotee. What was his name? Valmiki. From Dashu, from a dacoit, he became a pure devotee of the Lord. Therefore, it doesn't matter which background you are coming from, where you are coming from, it doesn't matter. When you take to the process that is offered by a pure devotee, and if you practice it properly, you'll become purified. And those days, early days, it was just a rare occasion. Like some rare individuals used to have that opportunity. But Srila Prabhupada has created a mass opportunity, massive opportunity for the mass. Those days one or two people used to get the opportunity. But through ISKCON, what Srila Prabhupada has done? Prabhupada has given this opportunity, made this opportunity available to the mass. Hundreds, thousands. It'll reach up to millions. This is the power of a pure devotee. So Krishna actually mentions some of those individuals. Vritrasura became a pure devotee. Prahlad. Vrishaparva. Vrishaparva was the king of the demons. He was the father of Sharmishtha, who got married to Jajati king. Yesterday we were talking about Jadu, King Jadu. Sharmishtha and Brihaspati's daughter was Sharmishtha, who got married to King Jajati, and their son was Jadu. And from Jadu came this Jadu dynasty where Krishna appeared. Actually a demon. But he became a pure devotee by the association of Narada Muni. Bali Maharaj, Banasura, Mayadana, Vibhishan, Sugriv, Hanuman, Jambavan, Gajendra, Jatayu, Tuladhar, Dharma Vyad is a hunter whose occupation was to kill animals. Krishna is describing him as a pure devotee. Kubja, the gopis of Vrindavan and the wives of the brahmanas who were performing sacrifice, Jagi Brahmana. And then Krishna is saying the person, these people that the persons that I have mentioned, they did not undergo any serious studies of the Vedic literatures. They did not perform any severe austerities or worship the great saintly person or worship demigods or perform some very, very exalted vows. They were just, they didn't have any of these qualifications. They didn't undergo any of these processes. Studying of the Vedas, performing austerities, performing